Yes, it is a privilege.
I am June Rogers, and I feel so privileged to be able to share in God's word with everyone this morning. So let us begin with a word of prayer. Lord God, we just thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to all come together and to delve into your word. You know, I was just listening to a song that talks about the reckless love that you have for us. You have demonstrated and proved to us that you love us, that your love is endless. You sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. So as we study your word, chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians, help us, Lord, to really, really get that message about how much you love us and what you're willing to do for us. And let that urge us to want to spread your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again, welcome everyone, and happy anniversary to the Runner for Christ family. This April, we are celebrating 19 years. Oh, and for those of you who I sent a text message to about that picture of the new bike that I included, my dear friend Kathy surprised me with the gift of a beautiful turquoise Huffy mountain bike. And I can't wait for us to go riding. I've been so encouraged, and this provides a way for me to be physically strengthened. And thanks so much to you, Kathy, and all of you who sent me birthday wishes last month. You know who you are. I got cards and emails and texts and chocolate covered strawberries and clothes and gift cards. I don't know. They say it's better to give than to receive, but I admit, while I would have never asked for these gifts, it really did feel good to receive them, especially the well wishes, the cards, emails, and texts gave me such joy. I definitely felt the love. I thank God for all of you. So let's get into it. Last week's Would You Rather question was this. Would you rather have someone ignore the fact that you have a piece of toilet paper hanging from the back of your pants, not tell you because they don't want to hurt your feelings, or would you rather have someone who does not mean you well in a loud, mocking voice so others can hear actually say that you have toilet paper hanging from the back of your pants? Well, I did get two responses, and one person said that they would not care how loudly they were told. They would just want to know immediately if toilet paper was hanging from the back of their pants. But the other person said that they would prefer not to hear that loud, mocking voice. And I get both points, because it's just the worst feeling when you get home and discover something like this for yourself. You start to think about just how many people saw it. So you really, I'm thinking, want to know sooner versus later. But in the spirit of trying to have things both ways, I chuckled and mused that while I would not want someone who does not mean me well to mock me, perhaps I could use that knowledge to remove the toilet paper before anyone really sees it if I'm fast enough. So why did I pose that question? Well, recall last week that in chapter 2, we saw Paul continuing to encourage the Thessalonians in a nurturing manner. When we're speaking of nurturing, it's not just what you do, but how you do it. It's not just what you say, but how you say it. We want to come across with caring and love. So if our intentions are right, our delivery will follow. To me, the person who would loudly mock you in an embarrassing situation, calling attention to, is not the way to go. A nurturer would privately pull you aside, even going to the point of shielding you if necessary. There is a leadership principle that can help you remember. It goes like this: praise in public and criticize in private. I think these are words to live by. Just think if a certain husband attending the Oscars show last Sunday night had not given in to the temptation to criticize in public. I'm just saying. So about this week's Would You Rather question, although I first learned online about how engaging and thought-provoking these types of questions can be, for the past several months, I have been coming up with my own questions. But since I could not think of anything, I went to some of the online lists and found this one. So here it goes. Would you rather be able to see 10 minutes into your own future or 10 minutes into the future of anyone but yourself? Again, that's would you rather be able to see 10 minutes into your own future or 10 minutes into the future of anyone but yourself? Can't wait to get your response on this one. So let's start our reading of chapter 3. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We send him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. But you know that we were destined for such troubles. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come, and they did, as you well know. That is why when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. But now Timothy has just returned, bringing us good news about your faith and love. He reports that you always remember our visit with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. So we have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith. It gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord. How we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again, to fill in the gaps in your faith. May God our Father and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. Well, just as the letter was picking up emotion at the end of chapter 2, as indicated with phrases like in verse 17 where Paul said, we had an intense longing to see you again, chapter 3 continues with the paternal type concern and love we discussed last week. In verse 1, Paul says things got to the point that they could stand it no longer, and so they sent Timothy. This speaks volumes. When someone says they can't stand a situation any longer, we would say something like they've gotten to the end of their rope. It suggests that they've been thinking about something or working on something but not getting what they hope or maybe not seeing the results they wish for. Here for Paul is the frustration of trying to get back to see the Thessalonians. And when we get desperate like this, we have to be careful not to try and get things by hook or crook, right? We need to recognize when we cannot stand a situation any longer and become desperate, it's easy to fall into temptation. If you want something really bad, know that the evil one will come to you with ideas of how you can accomplish what you want to happen. Think of a couple desperate to conceive who is unable to do so. We can actually look to the Word of God for examples as well as in our modern day. When Sarah couldn't take it any longer, she gave up her servant Hagar to her husband Abraham for them to conceive a child for her. At first, I was going to say that today we would refer to Hagar as a surrogate mother, but she really wasn't because she was basically owned by Sarah. She did not have a choice. So they actually forced her to have that child. Then, of course, today there are contractual arrangements that can be entered into for a woman to carry a baby that may be consistent completely biologically of the couple, both the egg and sperm, or partially biological, where the couple has donated either the egg or the sperm, or not consisting of the couple's biology at all. Then there are situations where a person is so desperate to have a child, they just steal one from the hospital or in public. We've even seen situations where women have feigned pregnancy and then kidnapped expectant mothers about to deliver, stealing the newborns, and then killing the mom. When we hear these stories, we often ask ourselves, what in the world would drive a person to do such a thing? One word, desperation. So getting to the end of your rope can be scary and for sure is a vulnerable state, but it does not have to be. If we refuse to let Satan drive, we are less likely to end up in a hole or running into a brick wall. Here we see Paul even acknowledging Satan's role. In verse 18 of chapter 2 regarding attempts to get to Thessalonica, he says that they tried again and again, but that Satan prevented them. Look, when you're up against Satan, you can't use his devices to prevail. Jesus illustrated this point in Matthew 12:26 when he said, if Satan is casting out Satan, he is divided and fighting against himself. So if the evil one is involved in your frustration about getting something done, know that he is not likely to present godly alternatives. If we really want to see our way out of a problem without making things worse, we need to seek God-backed solutions. When we get into a tight, we must move in the right direction. We need to seek to do what Paul did when he could not endure the situation any longer. We need a plan, a strategy, a godly plan, a godly strategy. So in reading this through, I saw some plotting going on, some undercover work. If, as stated in chapter 2:18, Satan prevented them from returning to Thessalonica, how is it that Timothy was able to go back? You know, I was intrigued, and so I revisited Acts chapter 16 to see if I could find some answers. It says in Acts chapter 16 that Paul first hooked up with Timothy in Lystra, and that since he was well thought of by the believers, he accompanied them on that missionary journey. But when Paul and Silas set out on the next leg of the journey to Macedonia, there was no mention of Timothy joining them, which of course does not mean he wasn't there, just no mention. But when we look at what happened after Paul and Silas were sent packing from Thessalonica, as recorded in Acts 17, we get more clarity. It says that from Thessalonica, they were sent by the believers to Berea, where they preached the word. But Acts 17:13 states that some of the Jews from Thessalonica actually came to Berea and stirred up trouble. At this, the believers sent actually escorted Paul to Athens. When the believers returned, they told Timothy and Silas to join him in Athens, which they did. So I just want to report that my little investigation suggests that while Timothy might not have been in the limelight during the Thessalonica preaching, there was some involvement. Either way, since Paul and Silas were so visible with getting beat and imprisoned and the whole uproar, it would follow that it was less likely they could revisit Thessalonica without notice. Still, they could have decided to do so, which probably would have ended catastrophically. Instead, I think they selected a God-backed method in sending Timothy. Why Timothy specifically? Notice how Paul refers to Timothy as a brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. Wow. Now, that's a title to have on your resume. A brother is cool, but God's co-worker? Now, that's what the young people say, sick. Can God say that about you? Well, if God can't say that about you now, it's never too late. We need to strive to do what he wants us to do. Look, the Lord has only asked us to do a few things, and one of them is to proclaim the good news of Christ. When Jesus walked the earth, he said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, as recorded in Mark 16:15. And those who do this are our brothers and sisters in Christ. So Timothy is sent to Thessalonica, but why? What was the purpose of Timothy being dispatched? Why was Paul so desperate to get someone to go to Thessalonica? In verse 2, Paul lists three reasons. 1, to strengthen you. 2, to encourage you in your faith. 3, to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you're going through. Strengthening and encouraging are part of a nurturing regimen. We should be doing this regularly for those we are charged to care for. But there are particular times and situations where we should feel an urgent need to do so. One of those times is laid out here. Paul says he knew troubles would be coming their way and that he had warned them. What troubles? Remember the setting. They were in the midst of a culture of idolatry. Adding to that, there were Jews so against the teaching of Christ that they were willing to use violence and their political power to harm believers, including imprisonment. Although they had ran Paul and Silas out of town, they still were determined to try and stop the work of those left behind. Acts 17 reports that when the jealous Jews in Thessalonica formed a mob to start a riot, they attacked the home of a believer named Jason, searching for Paul and Silas. Just imagine for a moment what amounts to a raid. I know that raids are terrorizing and designed to be traumatizing to the point of getting the occupants of a home to comply. Even when it's the authorities, it's all out shock and awe as they often forcibly enter, subduing everyone inside as they search everywhere. Someone could be hiding to neutralize potential threats to their safety. That's enough to cause PTSD when you know it's the authorities. But when a mob consisting of troublemakers from the marketplace, in other words, hitmen, like that storm, Jason's home, I can just imagine the terror they felt. And when these hoodlums could not find Paul and Silas there, they dragged Jason and some of the other believers out, taking them before the city council, where they were accused of treason against Caesar for pledging allegiance to another king named Jesus. Side note, so glad the U.S. has formed on the principle that it's okay to pledge an allegiance to God. I just hope this holds. But based on his own experiences and what the Holy Spirit showed him, Paul knew that believing and preaching the gospel was dangerous. In Acts 20:21, and speaking about plans to go to Jerusalem, he said this, "The Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead, and yet he went on to say that his life was worth nothing to him unless he used it to finish the work assigned him by the Lord Jesus, that is, telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." Wow, just got to say amen to that. So Paul knew both from the pain he had bore physically, mentally, and spiritually, or I shouldn't say spiritually, physically and mentally, that persecution is real. And he recognized that those he was writing the letter to would experience it as well. Look, the evil one will do everything he can to stop the word of God from being preached. We may not experience beating or being sent to prison for preaching, but you have no doubt heard many a preacher mention the struggles they face as preachers. There's a situation unfolding in the international ministry called Hillsong that illustrates a modern day example of when leaders succumb to temptation and how other believers can be affected. I'll tell you about that in a few moments as I start to turn this conversation into some lessons that we can learn. So the first lesson I think we can learn is that encouragement can be a two-way street. Lots of mileage comes from this. Both the one encouraging can be encouraged. In this case, Paul's intent to encourage actually resulted in his receiving a report that he said was a source of encouragement to him. In verse 7, Paul states, "So we have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith." He also says in verse 9 that he thanks God because of them and that they have great joy as they enter God's presence because of the Thessalonians. Number 2. Strengthening also can benefit the giver and receiver. In verse 8, Paul said, "It gives us new life to know that you're standing firm in the Lord." The New American Standard Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, "For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord." The point he was trying to get across is that their faith was revigorating to him. Have you ever heard someone so overjoyed by news that they say something to the effect, "Now I can die happy"? When someone you're nurturing is growing, it makes you feel good. It's also going to make them feel good. I don't know if you watched any of the Supreme Court confirmation hearings for nominee Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. Senator Lindsey Graham asked her, "On a scale of 1 to 10, how faithful would you say you are in terms of religion?" Judge Jackson replied, "I am reluctant to talk about my faith in this way just because I want to be mindful of the need for the public to have confidence in my ability to separate out my personal views." I don't mind saying that I was disappointed in her answer. I think it was a missed opportunity, perhaps because Senator Graham, who truly could be viewed as an opponent, like that proverbial person who would seek to embarrass you by loudly announcing you have toilet paper hanging out of your pants. So I get it. So what was a judge to do? Of course, me having the benefit of sitting in my comfortable house without the pressure and weight of the entire Senate and world watching by television, I had an opinion. I think in that my response would have been something like this. My faith today is 10. Yesterday it was a 10. And I hope and pray tomorrow it will be a 10. But those 10s do not tell the whole story. And that's because my faith has grown and grown, and because I believe, it keeps growing. This is in no small part due to the nurturing I received from Runner for Christ Ministry Spiritual Leadership. For the past 14 years, Pastor O and the ministry team have nurtured me consistent with verse 10, where it says they pray for God to fill the gaps in our faith. They don't just do that for me. They do it for the whole ministry. Number 3, there is no neutrality in church leadership. You are either strengthening or weakening. Physically, when we use the word strengthen, often we're referring to muscles in our bodies. Experts have proved to us that a good way to strengthen muscles is by exercise, by building them up. In other words, you have to do something, move something. Conversely, if you do nothing when it comes to your muscles, it's not just that you cannot strengthen them, but they won't just remain where they are. They weaken over time. The exercise phrase of use them or lose them can also apply to strengthening from a ministerial standpoint. What church can just coast and be effective for Christ? News has been breaking this past week about the Hillsong Mega Ministry, which started about 4 decades ago in Australia after a father and son combined their churches. The Charismatic Crusade for Christ, known for hit contemporary music, spread throughout the world with churches in 30 countries, including the United States. Over the years, allegations of sexual misconduct surfaced about the founders, which the ministry seemed to survive until now. Amid the release of a negative documentary, the co-founder just resigned from his role as global senior pastor. In reaction to the quoted breach of the church's code of conduct, several churches have elected to remove their congregations from under the covering of Hillsong. Germane to our discussion is that many of those pastors leaving the mega ministry say it's due to its tarnished reputation and instability that the pastors say they found increasingly difficult to endure. There is more analysis about this case than our time would permit, but notice that leaders have a responsibility to strengthen their followers, and faith is indeed like a muscle. Paul recognized this and his goal to be proactive. He did not just assume that everything was going well with the church at Thessalonica. He sent Timothy specifically with the goal, as stated in verse 5, to find out if their faith was still strong. He goes on to say that he was fearful that the tempter had gotten the best of them and that their work had been useless. We have to stay on top of things. Apathy or getting comfortable is the enemy. Just look to the first 3 chapters of Revelation where the characteristics of various churches are laid out. Some were complimented for keeping the faith in the face of persecution or patiently enduring despite weaknesses. But Jesus criticizes churches that are spiritually dead, that compromise their beliefs, and those that have abandoned their love for him. And we can't forget how disgusting the Lord finds a lukewarm church that's kind of eh. So we see that apathy can be our enemy. Let's go all out for the Lord. Fourth, there is a way to encourage and nurture that can keep paying dividends well into the future. We see the fruit of Paul's work. This very letter we've been reading is evidence that what you do today cannot just encourage and strengthen your charges and you, but others into the future. A personal example I've seen of this involves my husband. While I try to be a source of encouragement to him, it's hard to know if it's sticking. But recently, as he has asked me to repeat something I told him that I noticed, I can tell I'm making some inroads. So as the second oldest male in his father's dynasty, it's not surprising that he is consulted by many younger males about how to conduct their lives. During some of these encounters with youth, he's asked me to repeat what I noticed about his nurturing approach. When we come across now middle-aged men in their 40s or 50s he had worked with serving as mentor, I've come to hear them say one of two things, either, Mr. Rogers, I'm glad I listened to you, or Mr. Rogers, I wish I had listened to you. Hearing their stories from him later has shown me that those who did listen got on the right path, whereas those who had wished they listened are sometimes even decades later suffering from poor choices. Ray gives this guidance, I believe, because God urges him to do so, not for a pat on the back. And during those times, he has asked me to repeat to teens and young adults what I've observed. He follows up with the question of whether the young person before him will later say they're glad they listen or be wishful that they listen. It is encouraging to my husband to know that I could connect the pattern of what he may have done long ago to what is evident today. See how encouragement can work? You may not know that it is having an effect, but that's not what's important. What is important is your obedience to God. When we do things God's way, it positively affects not just today, but into the future. Let me read again the last verses of chapter 3, beginning at verse 11. May God our Father and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon, and may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. So you see, parts of this letter include a prayer. Amen indeed. Last week for homework, I asked you to reflect on how you can nurture more effectively by interacting with care and love. I want to suggest that you keep thinking this way. Keep reflecting on the love of Jesus Christ, how his love for us is all we need to grow. Don't you want everyone to experience this love? God loves the world. He doesn't wish that any would perish. In that regard, he has asked us to partner with him by telling and showing others who he is by what we say and, more importantly, by what we do. So here's this week's homework. What area of your life can you improve so that there is no doubt about anyone watching you that, as Paul said of the Thessalonians, that others know you are, quote-unquote, strong in your faith and that you are standing firm in the Lord? Can God really consider you a co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ, consists Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2? And this will also help you. Just in case some random person walks up to you with a microphone and asks you a question about your faith, you would have already given this some thought and have an answer. So that's it for today. Please take some time to read over chapter 4 as well and reflect. And please, in addition to responding to the poll, which I love to hear, you know, and again, I think I told you the question for this week was, would you rather be able to see 10 minutes into your own future or 10 minutes into the future of anyone but yourself? So in addition to that, if you've got any questions or anything that pops into your head about chapter 4, you know, shoot me a text on that, and I'll make sure I try to answer that question in next week's lesson. So that's it for now, and I believe that Kathy's on deck. Again, Kathy, thank you for the bike.
No tattletale. Well, hello. thank you, Sister Rogers. Always a good lesson. And you know, those are two of my favorite words, share and love. Just think if, those words are powerful. And just think if the whole world had those two words in their heart, it would just be a beautiful world. Share, love, equal beautiful, huh?
There you go.
We got something going there. And you know what? Encouragement, that's the best thing. You know, it's a song, because you said something about encouraging yourself. It's a song that says encourage yourself. It says sometimes you have to encourage yourself.
You do.
Mm-hmm. You have to speak victory during the test, and no matter how you feel, speak the word, and you will be healed. Mm-hmm.
There you go. And
encourage yourself in the Lord.
Yeah, and like mm-hmm. I said, that song, The Reckless Love of God, all you can just think about the goodness of God and what he's willing to do. There's nothing he wouldn't do for you, you know,
nothing.
Including sending his son to die for you. That's like a source
ultimate
of huge encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Encourage yourself. Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you, Sister Rogers. We appreciate you. And you know what? Have the best day ever. Get on out there and get a bike ride.
Make with that, my buddy. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Listen, get your tea, your coffee, your cookies, and your crumpets. And after this song selection, we will start our worship service, and we will see you on the other side of this song. Amen.
The outpouring of your spirit, till I can't take no more, I need you, Lord, right now. Fill me up again. I cannot move on without you. Do like you did way back when. I need you, Lord, right now.
and I need you, Lord, right here. Fill me up again. And listen, the sun is shining on both sides of the street, and we just thank the Lord for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own sister, Rebecca Johnson. Good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. It's all yours.
All right. I'm Rebecca Johnson, and I'm grateful that he woke us up again. Our scripture is Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. God our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill your Holy Spirit. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in the songs, prayers, and preached word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Johnson. We appreciate you so much. Enjoy your day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Singing over me,
been so, so kind to me.
About it. He had to look at his son on the cross, and his love for us was so reckless. I love it. God was reckless. Amen. That he allowed his son to say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I'm so thankful for Jesus and the words he spoke on that cross when Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Have you ever wondered what God was getting ready to do? Lord, have mercy. We know Jesus don't speak idle words. Amen. The Lord God did that, sacrificed his son because he knew that we needed to be saved. And on the third day, he raised him from the dead. And in these days and times in which we live, we need to understand what his death, burial, and resurrection means. Amen. It means that he keeps us. Even when we don't believe he's keeping us, he's keeping us. The other day I was standing outside with the Lord and it began to snow. And I got excited because I said, Lord, love to see you do something. He said, even when you don't see what I'm doing something. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Somebody just God bless.
You are Jesus. You're my strong tower, Jesus. My strength this hour, Jesus. You're my deliverer, yes, you are, Jesus. My hope and my future, Jesus. Source and my shelter, Jesus. You're my Savior, keeper, my friend. Lord, I need you to take my hand and see me through. Whoa, now I need your grace to find that place you call me.
Yeah.
Savior, Keeper, my friend. Once again, Pastor, you took us there, and we just thank you. We thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Brother Deacon Charles Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Deacon Sir Charles Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
I don't understand. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Right now before the true and living God. And I want you to understand after listening to that, I hope you know after listening to that song right there. When it says, I have to know. We heard the pastor mention before that he went outside and he saw the snow falling and he knew God was up to something. We might not know what it is, but we do know that God is always up to something when it comes to us. So what it is you're taking it to him right now, I have no idea as to what it is. But you have to trust and believe and know that he's always up to something. And that something for us is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I think it's in Thessalonians where it tells us to rejoice always, to pray about everything, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. So right now what you're taking it to him, what I need to ask you to do is just leave it with him. Just leave it with him. You tried to carry it last week. You tried to carry it yesterday. You tried to carry it for I don't know how long. But right now, leave it with him. Because even though that thing is going on right now, I promise you, because he said he's up to something. And God's will is good and pleasing and perfect for us in our lives. He doesn't wish anything bad on us at all, but whatever comes at us, whatever comes to us, whatever we go through, his purpose is that we win. So you just have to, you got to leave it with him right now. Lord God, our Father, we come to you this morning, first off, praising you and thanking you, Father. Because a long time ago, you thought about each and every one of us. Back when you created this world, you put these lives that we live right here, right now in place. You see, Father, you are the Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning and the end. And you everything in between. And the great thing about, Father, having you as our Lord and Savior and our Daddy is that you have all the bases covered already. You didn't tell us that everything was going to be fine while we went through these lives. You don't lie to us. You told us in this world we was going to have trials and tribulations. In this world, things were going to happen. In this world, there were going to be things that we would have to go through. But you also told us to be of good cheer, to be happy and joyful because you've already overcome all of it. There's one in this world that means no good to us whatsoever. But that's because he knows where he's going to end up. See, Father, you made him too. You created everything. And he decided that he wanted to be like you and not follow you. He wanted to be you. But see, there is only one you, and that we have come to understand, I hope. There's only one God of creation that has made everything. And like I said, everything and everything in between. And what we have to come to do right now, Father, what we're praising you and thanking you for is the fact that we belong to you. Father, you tell us in your word not to be anxious for anything, but in everything, pray. Prayer and petition with thanksgiving. To make our requests known to you. So right now, Father, the great part about it, Lord, and I just got to talk to you like I do, is that when we come to you with anything, you already know what it is that's going on. And if you already know what's going on, Father, you already have the answer. Jeremiah tells us that you know the plans that you have for us. You know the plans that you have for us. You know what's going on. Plans for us to prosper. Plans for us to have a future. But every minute of our lives has already been orchestrated by you. And then you tell us in that same Jeremiah passage, Father, prayers to give us hope. While we're going through whatever we go through, Father, you go with us. When your son got down off that cross and he went back to heaven, and before he went into the grave, he said, it's finished. And what he meant was that, Father, that no longer could anything come between you and us as your children where we wouldn't be able to prosper, where we wouldn't be able to be good. He conquered everything right then, and it had to happen because everything was all out of place. You see, Father, the great thing about knowing you is that you made us different from the animals. The animals just do. You gave us choice. You gave us free will to decide what we wanted to do. And sometimes we don't pick right. But even when we don't choose right, Father, you don't give up on us. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, you faithfully just forgive our sins and to cleanse of all unrighteousness. That means when we mess up, all we got to do is come back to you in prayer and tell you, Daddy, we messed up. And you forgive us. We have to come to understand that whatever we go through, whatever's going on right now, Father, we're already forgiven. Ephesians tells us we've been adopted into your family. We're your children. And our elder brother is Jesus Christ. And like I said earlier, and he's already conquered. Death and hell has no power anymore over us. But while we're here, Father, while we're here, you tell us, like I said, to make our request on you, to pray about everything. And not self-centered prayers, Father, that seemed like the Pharisees used to do, that so they could be heard, that genuine prayer. See, Father, you want honesty from us. Because like I said earlier, Father, you already know what's going on. So when we come at you with any mess or anything outside or anything like that that doesn't go according to the way, you sometimes kind of, you hear everything we say, but you want to hear from us genuinely, Father. And the great part about it, Father, is that not only do you hear from us, that you answer our prayers. And you also want us to get together, like you say, where two or more gathered in your name. So, Father, even though we know we have things going on in our life, make it that we don't turn a deaf ear to what's going on with somebody else. See, Father, we know there's always somebody's got something going on a little worse than we got going on. So when that time comes, just like you did in the garden, in John chapter 17, I think it is, when you prayed for us, let us not stop to pray. Let us not stop and get so wrapped up in what's going on with us that we don't pray for others. Lord God, our Father, you know the great part about it is that when we can come to you like we're talking to you right now, Hebrews tells us to let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. And then we'll receive mercy and find grace that help us through our time of need. Father, you said when you went back to heaven that you was going to send one. That when we didn't know exactly what to say, that all we had to do is groan, and that's your spirit that lives inside of each and every believer. Father, for the one right now that's questioning whether or not you exist, show yourself to him. Show yourself to her. Let her see that you do. Let her know that you exist. Let him know that you exist. Because you see, Father, If they come to know you, then they get the benefit from what it is to know you. And I just got to say it like this, Lord. It ain't nothing like knowing you. It's nothing like being on your side and having you on our side. Father, for your one that it has been walking with you, strengthen their faith, Father. Give them that extra measure of courage, that extra measure of faith that's needed. But also help us to understand that do you know you, Father, that you've already got us. And our work here is to tell others about you. You said to go into all the world, Judea, Samaria, and everywhere we possibly can to let everybody know about you. See, there's more than enough room in heaven for everybody, Father. If you made this world, I like to think about it this way too, the universe and everything in it, I know that there's a place that you have prepared for us, because you said you did, where we're going to go to one day, and we'll never have to go through this again. But while we're going through this, we have to know that you go every step of the way with us. So encourage not just us, Father, but let us encourage each others, encourage ourselves, and to remind ourselves of what it is, and not just what it is, but who you are. See, you're God all by yourself. There is no other God but you. And you're the sovereign God. You do what you want to, when you want to, how you want to, however you want to. But Father, sometimes you use us so that others will see. Even when we're going through our afflictions, even when we're going through our pains, even when we're going through the loss of loved ones, while we're on this earth, Father, let us be that we represent you. Because the reality of it, Father, Lord, you got us. No matter what goes on, you got us. We just have to continually remind ourselves of that, Father. We have to remember the last time we were in a situation, the last time we had something going on, that you came through for us. And then we got to get like Paul and Silas when they was locked up in the Philippian jail, singing praises and hymns to you on a constant basis. You know, in Psalms it said, in our distress, we called upon the Lord. I cried to my God for help, and he heard my cry. See, that's just it. You're my God. We have to make it personal, too. Whenever things get tight, right now things might seem to get a little bit tight, Father, and all I'm going to ask you to do is just show that one that has a situation going on right now the way if they don't see it. But the great part about it, Father, is that even if we don't see it, all we have to do is come to you honestly and talk to you about it, and you make it happen. So I thank you for that, Father. You know, for that, we can go on and talk for a while now, but time consuming, time says that maybe I got to stop. But what we really just need to understand and know is that you got us. We win. No matter what situation we're in, health situation, financial situation, whatever it is, like I said, you told us to pray about everything and don't worry about anything. And in all things give thanks, for this is your will in Christ Jesus for us. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each and every one of you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Somebody like you
Place for you and me. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon Sir Charles Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. You know we appreciate you. Have a great day. What a service. I am truly enjoying this service, and I hope you are too. And I just want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay. Time for the preach word. A message from God. Icing on the cake. The best part. All right, the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing and making her first Saturday debut is our very own associate pastor, Sarah Tate McClendon. Sister Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon. Prepare to receive Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon come in her own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
Over yourself, encourage yourself,
Good morning, everyone. Happy Saturday. I'm a happy day person. And welcome to our Saturday service for Running for Christ Ministries. And happy anniversary to Running for Christ Ministries. I've been a proud member for about 17 years now, and I didn't realize I was that old and or that I attended that church for that long. I remember when my parents decided to transition, and that was one of the decisions that I didn't understand at the time, but I now thank God for that experience and for their obedience to God, for my sister, Naomi, and my brother, Terrence, and I. More than grateful. Again, thank you for coming today, Saturday. I'm not going to hold up too much of your time. However, I do want to bring a word from God, so let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to, again, just be able to be in your presence. Allow us to hear from you and not from me. Again, allow us to hear from you and not from me. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you continually give me to be able to share what I've learned in secrecy with you. And thank you for the ability to be able to affect children in a way that I have, Lord, and just
thank you for all the Blog Talk listeners, and bless everybody's heart that's listening here under the sound of my voice, Lord. And thank you for just being you and being sovereign and giving us the opportunity to just be in your face. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I am going to talk about an ideal response. Sometimes our responses in turmoil may be not ideal, and so that's okay because we're human. And so what I have decided to do is talk about how to work through that and how to create a proper response so that we are always being obedient to God. So I am coming from Psalms chapter 46, verses 1 through 3. And then I'm going to jump down to verses 8 through 11, and then I'm going to do some New Testament reading, and we're going to get started. And again, thank you for everyone that's here. Psalms chapter 46, verse 1 reads, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. Verse 8, come, see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of Heaven's army is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. That was, again, Psalms chapter 46, verses 1 through 3, and then verses 8 through 11. And I'm going to skip over to the New Testament. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Again, Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And it reads, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the winds and the waves obey him. Amen. Again, that was Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. I want to start off with some definitions before I dive into the text. What is a response? A response is a written or a verbal answer to a question, a test, a questionnaire, or it's a reaction to something. What is turmoil? Turmoil is a state of great extreme disturbance, confusion, or uncertainty, a place of agitation. What is refuge? Refuge is a shelter or protection from danger or distress. I highlighted those three because sometimes when we're in turmoil, we have no idea how to respond. And so what God has done in these two chapters is he's provided a proper response in Psalms chapter 46 where they're saying, hey, bring it on. Bring on every single problem that you can because I know God can literally handle all of that. And then we have the disciples in Mark, which is kind of funny because they hung out with Jesus. So how didn't you believe that he could literally stop everything? But in Mark, we have that the disciples were terrified and afraid and had no idea what to do. And their response is usually the mimic of what our response usually is when times come up. And so I'm super guilty, super, super guilty of not having a righteous response sometimes. And God allowed me to see that. And so what he did was he decided to check it fast. I wasn't allowed to be able to represent him in the kingdom well if I can't respond well when things come up. And so what he'll do is he'll keep giving you the test. Not that he's a unjust God, but he's the type of God that wants you to get it right. He wants you to get an A. He wants your record to be literally all A's. And so what I've done and was able to do through these two passages was come up with an acronym. And so the acronym is HEAL, H-E-A-L. And so I'm going to walk through all of those, and I'll be able to explain how you are able to create a righteous response, a response that only Jesus had, right? Jesus is the only one that literally walked the earth, and he was able to have the righteous response every single time. But because Jesus was literally connected to God at the hip, and because he literally believed everything that God was giving him and everything that God told him, even in his human nature, he was able to have that righteous response. And so God gave me comfort when I would condemn myself about my not righteous response. And he would tell me that because we were human, that sometimes this will happen. However, we were given an example, a perfect example of how to have a righteous response. And then we're always, of course, given 1 John 1:9 when our response is not that well. Thanks, Pastor, for always remembering that. So the H stands for hastily come to God's throne. So when Jesus died, the partition was ripped. The veil was ripped in two. And so that gave us gateway to be able to go to God boldly. And it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 through 16, that we are able to go boldly to the throne of grace to be able to ask God for whatever it is that we need. And so when situations come up where there's extreme turmoil, there's extreme anxiety, the first thing that we're supposed to do is literally go yell at God first. When it's funny because when it was explained to me, I said, but I'm so upset. Like, I don't want to come to you like that. And when we don't go to God first, whatever we go to first, that's who we think God is to us. That was a hard reality for me, that we literally disrespect God when we don't come boldly through to the throne of grace. He's like, hey, what about me? I spoke everything. I didn't have to do anything. I spoke it. So who are you to go to somebody else, or who are they that you think that they're more sovereign than I? And so we do have to remember that our refuge is in God. And so when we constantly remind ourselves, when we constantly meditate on God's word, and we understand that God protects us from all things, and that God knows all things, and that God does make provision for us, then we are able to literally say, you know what, hold on a second, let me go to the throne of grace real quick. One of the things that I adopted was just praying for 24 hours. I am not somebody that does that. I want answers right then and there. And if you don't have the answers, I will find somebody that does. And so God literally, slow down, be still, listen, I'm here, I have the solution. I gave that person that you're asking the solution, so why not just ask me? Embrace God's sovereignty, and that kind of rolls right into that. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. However, I also have Psalms 46:10. And so Psalms 46:10, God, that's a declaration of sovereignty. I did this. I did this. I was here. You be still. You sit down. You shut up, because this is mine and you are mine. And so sometimes we are used to going, that we forget, or we put God second, and we even kind of forgot that this was his way and it wasn't my way. The other declaration and mark that he makes was when he said, be still, be silent and be still, and he rebuked the waters. And so what God did for me when he blended these two passages was he literally enabled a way for us to completely understand that he understands. He completely wants us to know that, hey, put me first. I don't want you to fight. I don't want you to put up your fight. You're going to be tired. You're going to be wore out. You're going to be sick to your stomach trying to fight this stuff. And sometimes we're fighting stuff that we don't even know we're fighting. And so that's why it's so exhausting to us. And that's why we need God so much, because we're not omnipotent. We're not omnipresent. We're not everywhere at one time, and we don't have control over everything. So letter A, acknowledge God's plan. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. God's plan has already been set out. And so to not follow God's path, you run into these situations. Even on God's path, you run into these situations. But because you have God on this path, you're able to have the proper response and for these situations not to take you under. What happens is we get on this space where we're like, okay, I'm reading my Bible. I got this going on, and I'm walking, right? and I'm on this path and I'm on this journey and things are getting, nope, that's not going to get me. I got Jesus today. But sometimes Jesus don't be strong enough for that day for us sometimes. Sometimes we haven't invested that much time to where we have a stronger shield. And sometimes you need to pray a shield real quick. And so that's that pray without ceasing thing. Sometimes there's going to be situations that come out of complete nowhere. What is your response? How are you responding to this? Are you saying bring it on because I know God can handle it? Are you saying what is going on? And Jesus, where are you? When he was downstairs sleeping on a cushion. And that really blew my mind, the cushion. My dad talked about it. Me and my dad talked on the phone about it a while ago. And when I read it, and I read it in all these different versions because I'm such a nerd, I said, wow, he was really comfortable. And my dad was like, yeah, he had a whole pillow. And I was like, what? And so I had to read it again and to know that you're God and you know that this is going to happen and you took that piece of comfort with you. You know that I can handle this. I don't care what's going on. And from what I read, the Sea of Galilee was so small and so insignificant in a way that the waves were huge, at least. To say the waves were completely huge and this was something to be completely scared of. And Jesus was completely in the bottom of the boat sleeping with a whole pillow. And so his response was, I know God has me and I know God is protecting me from whatever it is that life is going to throw at me. There were many more things that Jesus had to deal with, even crucifixion after this. And to know that example really walked the planet and to know that example is really our whole role model as to what response we're supposed to have is mind-blowing because, again, that same role model gave up his life. So we can have this intercessory to be able to hastily go to God and say, this is what's going on. Don't go to somebody else first. And that again, that disrespects God, that throws God second, that puts him under the bus. In a sense, it's kind of like, well, you don't matter right now. I know you got stuff. Well, let me figure out if they got it too. And I wouldn't, luckily I'm not God, but if I was God, I wouldn't be giving nothing out. It would be like, what, you didn't do what I said? Fine. Okay. But again, I'm not God, which is amazing. And so after we acknowledge and accept God's predestined plan, we are to lean on our help and rest. And that kind of ties back into the cushion. Resting is a discipline. And knowing that somebody else is going to do something for you sometimes can be a very anxious place. I've learned that I'm an anxious person, and I've also learned that anxiety is a learned behavior. And so sometimes we get anxious about the wrong things, and sometimes our anxiety is manipulated by life's curveballs. And so when God designed us, God knew that we would have to deal with this. And when Jesus got here, Jesus provided a whole example to show us how to deal when people don't want to deal with you or how to deal when you don't necessarily agree with this person or whatever the case may be. But I can tell you right now, he definitely wants you to go hastily to the throne first. He wants you to hastily go to the throne, embrace his sovereignty, acknowledge and accept his predestined plan, and then listen and lean on his help. And the verse for that would be John 14:26 and then Psalms 120 and 121. And I picked Psalms 120 and 121 because there were praises. And one said, you are literally my help. You're everything that I need in times of anything that's happening to me. And so sometimes, and I was very grateful for the Encourage Yourself song. That is the number one song on my playlist when I feel some type of way. Or even when I'm not feeling some type of way, when I'm trying to hear from God and I want to understand, is there something that I missed from you? This minister walk is really new and as far as title-wise, but I've listened and I've learned, and the last 7 years have been amazing because God has really shown me that, hey, this is literally what you need to do. You need to enlighten people on the small things that we're doing that disrespects God. And not so much to point the finger and to say that you're doing something against God, but in a sense, when the small things that we don't know, you know, sometimes when you hear it, hastily go to God, that means don't hesitate. That means literally run, literally. And I also think about when babies are in trouble. I have 2 girls, 7 and 5, and you'll hear about me talk about them a lot because they're my world. And one of them, when she does something that she's not supposed to do, she will literally just come tell on herself, try to figure it out. Come on, let's figure this out. The other one tries to fix it herself. And so we all know that when you don't honestly come the first time and we don't, we try to do it ourselves, then things don't go our way. And sometimes that thing might not get fixed. And so that's another thing that God shows me is that when we don't hastily go to God and we start integrating other solutions, other people, substances, everyone's guilty of integrating something before God. Everybody's guilty of not putting God first in a situation, of not having a quote-unquote proper response. However, we all have redemption in Christ. And so with that redemption, we're able to build a proper response. And so I'm going back to Psalms 46, where they were literally saying, like, bring it on, kind of like Job. Like, you know what, Lord, whatever happens, whatever happens, I'm going to sit right here. And so we have to continue to learn to depend on Elohim and truly receive the gift that Christ gave on Calvary. When Christ died, he literally gave us the intercessory and the ability to be able to run to God. With God being so holy, we weren't given that accessibility. There were, only, again, like my first message, we were only given that sparingly, and we were given that based upon gifts. And now we're able to just stop what we're doing and pray, and we don't take advantage of it. And we actually make it our last resort sometimes. And that's okay, because everybody is guilty again. But as children grow, we have to grow. And if we don't learn at some point, even at 70 years old, how to have a proper response to stuff, they're not going to learn either. And so I hear a lot of people worry about, you know, our future, what's going to happen with our kids and things like that. Our kids are watching us respond improperly. And so the minute we start responding properly, we'll see some different children in the generation. And there are beautiful children in the generation, y'all. There are beautiful children out here that respond properly, that want to know Christ, that want to build a better relationship with him. But are we responding properly to their inquisitiveness? Or are we telling them to just go sit down? We'll talk about it later. And I'm guilty. I'm totally guilty. But we have to keep it in our forefront that our response builds the future. Our response isn't just for us. And that's another thing that kind of just came, which is amazing. Holy Spirit, you're amazing. Because how do we build a future with a bad response? One of the things that God allowed me to do, and anybody that knows me knows that I don't stop at one certification. I have, like, a lot of them. And not because I want to be boastful about it, because I want to be thorough about helping God's people in times of turmoil. And so one of the certifications that I've gained right before the pandemic was restorative practices. And so I have the ability to facilitate these circles with children, adults, churches, whatever the case may be. And so restorative practice is catching it before it happens, building this proper response before turmoil, versus restorative justice, handling it when it happens restoratively. And so one of the things that God pointed out to me and he made me be extra thankful for was the fact that this specific domain was speaking positivity and speaking life into these people, into these children. They weren't just saying, you did this, you did this. They were saying, well, let's figure out why this happened, and let's figure out how to restore the entire situation to where there's no hate or hostility when people leave. And so is our response a restorative one? Are we building people up, or are we knocking people down? And even in our own turmoil, what are we doing to ourselves? You know what I mean? People make mistakes, and sometimes we don't give enough grace to people for their mistakes. And sometimes people can say that's warranted. Sometimes people can say that's not, whatever is your discretion. However, the thing about it is that if we're not building up, even in the time of turmoil, if our faith is not being built up, what are we doing? You know, what our response, if our response isn't full of faith, then how are we attracting someone else to the faith? How are we helping someone else get into heaven? If we nasty, and I was nasty, so I can say it. If you don't have a restorative response or a proper response in turmoil when you're going through it. Then somebody else not going to believe God can get them out either in real life. If they're watching you lose your mind, lose your sleep, do this, do that, if they're not watching you say, you know what, Jesus, come on, let's do this. If they're not watching you say that, they're not going to want to be integrated with what you got going on either. No matter how God, how good God has been to you, they're not going to want to do it because that one specific thing, that one specific person passing away, that, and don't get me wrong, everybody, I'm not saying that grief is insignificant. When my mother passed away in 2015, you could have put me in the grave with her. But 7 years later, God has been completely faithful to that process. And if I did not respond well to people in that process, if I didn't respond well to that turmoil, I would not be talking right now. I would probably be in a corner rocking like a baby still 7 years later in real life. Any turmoil, we have to respond well because there's something that God wants to give us after that. He wants us to literally come sit and rest in him. He wants us to find that discipline to say, you know what, Lord, you do it. Because, again, he declares in Psalms 46:10, I will be honored in every nation. Be still. I am God. I will be honored throughout the earth. I'm going to get it anyway. So if you allow me to have it, I'm going to bless you for allowing me to have my sovereignty in your life. And turmoil is not planned. Turmoil is very impromptu. And so what happens is you're thrown off. Like, I'm envisioning the boat in Mark. And I'm envisioning that, you know, you getting tossed from one way to the next. You slide and stuff, probably going off the boat, all kind of stuff. But Jesus is literally at the bottom with a pillow. And so do you find a pillow when it's time? You know, when it's game time, are you frantically running around? Are you losing? Are you crying all over the place? Are you screaming at people? Or are you literally opening your Bible or on your knees? Or are you just taking a nap? I've learned that that's my kryptonite. When I need to, like, unwind, it's literally just take a nap. Take a nap. Are you taking a nap in turmoil? Or are you up all night? Do you have insomnia? Have you developed insomnia because turmoil after turmoil after turmoil? And to be a believer and to have faith, we know that all things work together for the good. And so to not have that in your forefront and to not believe that and to not continuously give God that sovereignty is disrespectful, especially when you totally the best church member you could ever be in your whole life. If you're not doing that on the inside, all that stuff you did, it don't matter because when God throw a monkey wrench, you are upset. And listen, monkey wrenches are deep. So God does all kind of stuff. He sends people your way, do this, you got to take care of this, you got to do that. But what is your response? Are people literally watching you run around like a chicken with your head cut off? I was a chicken with my head cut off, you guys. It's okay. I had to remember that God was my refuge. God was my strength. Then you have to, like, speak the Jehovah's in your name. And you have to learn what they mean and understand how to apply them when different turmoils come up. Because sometimes it's a financial turmoil. Sometimes it's a health turmoil. Sometimes it's them people over there is just trifling, Jesus. And how do you respond? Because if you respond in trifling to the trifling people, you just got a big ball of trifling. And that helps nobody. Nobody likes trifling situations. So what is your response? Do you allow, do you go to God first to get your response when you know that you're going to say the wrong thing at the wrong time? Like, do you use God's word as an anchor or is it just holding up some other books? Seriously. And along the way, while we're in turmoil, it's hard to rest, you know? I'm sorry that I made it seem kind of aggressive, but when you rest, you find out that God truly, truly, truly loves you, that Jeremiah 29:11 is truly what it is, that he does. He did plan this for you. He knows the numbers that's on your head. He understands. He's been through every situation that we've been in the flesh. And if you don't rest, you don't understand who's watching. You don't understand who's willing to help. You're just all over the place. That was another thing that was pretty big that stuck out was that I didn't know how to rest. I'm a very up and go, all over the place person. And so resting, when I rested on that Sabbath retreat, this is actually the scripture that we meditated on was Psalm 46:10. And I didn't understand what God was doing then, but now I understand that it wasn't just to build up a message. It was to be able to understand that if you don't go to God first, you probably won't get the result that you're looking for. And if you do, it'll be for that moment. It won't be the everlasting joy situation to where God has literally brought you out of a situation and you only depended on God. There are things that you only know that God brought you out of, and this is the reason why you're listening today. And so because of that, you have to literally be able to have a righteous response so somebody else to be able to be brought out too. There are many, many, many women out here who have children that people think they shouldn't have or whatever the case may be, but what is your response to their children? Do you turn them away because they got a lot of children, or do you embrace the fact that they're being fruitful and multiplying, even if it's not in the way that you think it's supposed to be? Sometimes we have to literally back up and respond well, because we have to understand what generations will be affected. And so one of the other things that I'm amazed about with Running for Christ Ministry is that we're very multi-generational. And so if we all have a righteous response, how well will this generational wealth grow? You know, how in tune will my children be with the Bible if I'm in this position because of what my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents be at? And because of Running for Christ Ministries and River Rouge Bible Assembly, like if it wasn't for those entities and people responding well and me being able to receive, even when they were going through things, where would I be? Seriously, I think about that. And I get choked up a little bit because sometimes I beat myself up because sometimes my responses aren't well. And then God reminds you that I gave you a helper for a reason. I gave you someone that is going to help you make a righteous response. I gave you an example of a righteous response, and I also gave you an extra piece to help you when you need to make a righteous response. Because some domains, you get the righteous response correct in 5 seconds. Some domains are a little bit tougher, and that's okay. However, what is your response? Do you want to have a righteous response, or do you not want to have a righteous response? Because the consequences from that are based on your response, you know? So as I conclude, I wanted to say that in order to respond well to God, we have to obey. And in order to heal, in order to hastily come to the throne, embrace God's sovereignty, accept and acknowledge God's predestined plan, and lean and listen for his help, we have to rest. We have to understand that we are not in control, and we have to contain the discipline of resting. I hope everyone receives something from this message. I hope everyone is blessed from this message, and thank you all for listening. I'm going to pray, and then we should be on our way to announcements. But again, happy anniversary, Running for Christ Ministries. I never would be in this position if it wasn't for those two people that are behind the closed doors at Running for Christ Ministries. And everybody else that everybody there has poured into me amazingly to make me eager to do things like this. And so I'm truly thankful. All right, I'm going to pray us out. Lord, thank you for just being able to unwind in you, Lord, and just being able to be able to rest in you, Lord. Thank you for giving us a command to just be still and know that you run everything, Lord. When anything comes up in anybody's lives that's listening, Lord, allow them to understand that you are first. Allow them to heal, Lord. Allow them to hastily go to your throne, embrace your sovereignty, Lord, accept and acknowledge your predestined plan, Lord, and lean on your help and listen to that help, Lord. Thank you for just providing us with ways that aren't ours, Lord, on purpose, Lord. And thank you just for giving us the choice to be able to be with you, Lord. Thank you for not being aggressive about your word, Lord, but thank you for being consistent, Lord, about your word. And just we honor you today with all thanksgiving for just being here and being able to speak, Lord, move and have our being, and bless everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. For those who know me, I am rarely speechless. okay? It is not often that I can't find something to say about something. And I, today, right now, am so blown away. I have been blasted to a planet that has not even been discovered yet. I don't know if anybody is there with me, but I am there. I literally don't know what to say. Wow. Okay, you know what? At the end of my announcement, I'm going to let Pastor handle that because right now I just feel like a proud mom, even though Sarah is not my baby. But just like she said, everybody at Running for Christ is responsible for pouring into everybody else at Running for Christ Ministries. Like, we are all flabbergasted at the growth that we've all had. And I don't know that anybody really saw themselves in the position that they're in at Running for Christ. I know for sure I didn't. I know Sarah was saying that she didn't. I'm just blown away. I really don't know what to say. I'm going to let Pastor do what he do and say what he say after my announcements because the sermon, my mind is literally blown. Sarah came over the other day. She did my hair, and I didn't even care about the hair. It was the edification that I got from her, the conversation, I told her to come over every single day after that, which obviously we know is not, you know, possible, but I just feel like I just needed to still be in her presence, and it's absolutely amazing. She's just as amazing in person as what you guys heard today. I'm just blown away. There's so many things that could be said. There's so many things that I could talk about. There's breakdowns to the breakdowns to the breakdowns of what she did for us today. But when she preached in person her first sermon on a Sunday a couple of weeks ago, she talked about sharing the Holy Spirit with others. And then, you know, pouring into others what's been poured into you. You know, all of us are kind of where we are right now because others before us prayed for us. And then now it's our responsibility for our generation, like she's calling a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. You know, where will they be 10, 15 years from now? It's going to be important for us to put into them what was poured into Sarah and her husband and her family, because we have to continue teaching the word of God to those who are coming after us. Amen. And so she talked about sharing the Holy Spirit in her in-person sermon. And then for her debut sermon here on Blog Talk Radio, she gave us an acronym to heal, speaking of hastily coming to God's throne and embracing God's sovereignty and who he is and what he does and acknowledging God's plan for our life and trusting that what he has in place for us is true and real and he is faithful, and to listen and to lean on his help because he wants us to cast our cares on him because he cares for us. So, wow, absolutely wow. Her mom will be so proud of her. Her father is proud of her. All of us at Running for Christ Ministries are proud of her. And so we just thank her for what she did today. We know that it's not easy to come on and preach the word. And we've all heard from all of our preachers that come on Blog Talk Radio or even in person. They tell us, I'm not telling you anything that the Lord hasn't already taken them through first. And so we just thank God for you know, the word that was brought to us today. And if any of y'all are on that unidentified planet that I'm on, you know, we get together, meet up for lunch, and just try to talk about what we just heard today because it was absolutely amazing. Amen. All right, y'all. If you are confused at any point in time of what day it is, it's Saturday. Amen. It's the first Saturday in the month of April. And it is a month that those of us at Running for Christ Ministries is probably our favorite month. Why? Because it is our church anniversary month. Amen. So happy anniversary to Running for Christ Ministries, a ministry of teaching, learning, and doing. It is our 19th church anniversary. What an awesome blessing. Pastor tells us every year how he felt about Running for Christ Ministries and how he was worried about it not being what it's supposed to be. And we know he had trials and tribulations along the way, but 19 years later, here we are still standing. And so we are so blessed, and we are so thankful for everything that God has done for us at Run for Christ Ministries. And we know that God is faithful, and he will continue to do what he said. Amen. So by way of a couple of announcements, Sunday, April 3rd, amen, we will celebrate our anniversary, of course, for the entire month of April. And we will have our in-person service tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. with our praise team leading us in song and worship. The preached word will be by our very own amazing, awesome Pastor O. Amen. Everyone is welcome to join us as we celebrate. All that we ask is that you wear a mask. If you don't have one, no worries. We will provide you with one. You can also listen to our service on Blog Talk Radio at 1 p.m. by visiting our church website at rfcm.org and clicking on Recorded Sunday Services. Not if you just, you know, if you're not able to make it or you're not comfortable with coming in person, that's no problem. But even for those of us who are in person, I think some of us actually do go back still and listen to the service again, even though we were already in person in service. Amen. They're just that good. Amen. So every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own presiding person, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, is on Blog Talk Radio with her show, Bring Back the Family, rfcm.org. Under our Christian Resources page is where you will find more information on calling in or logging in to hear her show and to participate in them. Bible teachers, we know that we are currently in our presentation stages. Amen. So tomorrow we will have our third presentation. So everybody knows that they need to be in formation, amen, at 9 a.m. To be able to support our next presenter. Amen. Also, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we hold our Bible reading classes here on Blog Talk Radio. Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks will be teaching from the book of Psalm, chapter 119. Yes, just one chapter. Tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of verses. Amen, which is why it is a standalone class. Amen. So the questions are available online at rfcm.org. Just click on Bible classes. If anybody is in person in church on Sunday, they know that they can grab the questions from the back table. And there's, you know, always good stuff back there on the back table. So make sure you visit it either on your way in or on your way out. Amen. Also, every Saturday, Bondage Breaker Ministries holds their ladies' Bible class from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Amen. Pastor Janice Tate is the teacher. So for more information on participating in this ladies' Bible class on Saturdays, rfcm.org is the church website. Click under, Christian Resources, and you will find the information to be able to participate in the ladies' Bible class. Amen. If you want to pay your tithes and offerings, again, rfcm.org, click on tithes and offerings to be able to do what you need to do. If you would like to give a love offering for the preacher that preached today, Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, oh my God, go to our church website and just remember to specify her name, Sarah Tate McClendon, amen, when you give your offering, and we will see to it that she receives it. The Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with them, amen. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so when you pray first, amen, when you hastily run to God's throne, and that's your initial response before anything and everything else, you will find over time that you will be praying continually. Amen. So we ask your prayers for those who are sick, your continuous prayers for those who are sick, shut in, hospitalized, incarcerated. Amen. We ask that you continue to pray for one another personally. And, of course, don't forget to pray for yourself. Please keep all of our children in your prayer, our nations, our world, our leaders as they constantly face major decisions that affect all of us in some form, in one way or another. Pray for those who are missing and exploited, those who are being trafficked and held against their will and being abused, sexually abused. Just there's so many things to pray for. Please keep in prayer all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. We know that the list of what to pray for is completely inexhaustible. Amen. So we continue to pray. Special prayers for Darius Freeman. Keela keeps us posted on him. He's a young man going through some health issues, but he has a testimony that's going to come after these testings. Amen. So we continue to keep Darius in our prayers, as well as his mom, Keela, and his brother, Malachi. Also, don't forget to continue to pray for Mother Irma Miller, Tyrone Hamilton. I love how Pastor says he is the father of our church. He is the oldest member of Running for Christ Ministries, and so we definitely want to keep him lifted up in prayer. Prayers for all of our mothers on the move. Mother Cheryl, who is Tyrone Hamilton's wife, please give her a double help in the prayers. Amen. Mother Marilyn, also Mother Persia, they are our mothers on the move, and we love them so very much, so we need to keep them lifted in prayer. Amen. I continue to pray for all those who are bereaved everywhere, all bereaved families everywhere. Amen. Pray for our world, again, our leaders, and especially Ukraine, and all the people that live in that country that are fleeing for their lives. Pray for our president and all the leaders of this country that they are guided and led in the right direction for this country. Amen. And then you obviously add your own things to your prayer list, because we all got personal prayers. So we just want to pray for everyone, everywhere, all the time. Amen. Amen. So it's a new month, the month of April. So, of course, we say happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all over the world who will be celebrating their birthday this month, who are celebrating today, who maybe opened it up yesterday. Amen. We have one birthday, one birthday that I know of. Now, if you want your name on the birthday list and you want to get a shout out, then you have to tell me when your birthday is so that I can put your name on the list. Amen. But for now, we have one birthday, and that's Nedra. Amen. She celebrates her birthday on the 12th. So right now, Nedra gets the whole month of April to herself, and she gets shouted out every week this month. Amen. So happy, happy birthday to Nedra. We all know her. She's a very wonderful, sweet young lady. So happy, happy birthday to her. Amen. All right. And so your devotional for today is by a website called crosswalk.com, and it talks about resurrection culture. Amen. So it reads, we serve a God of powerful transformation. And throughout Scripture, God takes those whom the world deems the lowest, the hopeless, and the helpless, and uses them to change the world. You are not beyond transformation. God longs to break off that which inhibits you from experiencing fullness of life. He longs to heal you, deliver you, and set you free. May your life be forever changed as we spend time discovering God's heart for transformation. So Scripture, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And that's John chapter 11, verse 25. Throughout the resurrection of Jesus, we have been given the opportunity to live life in a new way. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. The power of the resurrection is not just over our death, but over our lives. God didn't just pay for our freedom for all eternity, but for right now, but for this very moment. He's calling you and me to live a resurrected lifestyle. He's ushering us into a resurrection culture. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if in fact the spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ does not belong to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17 says, even says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Your life is changed because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Because Christ rose from the dead, you have been raised from spiritual death. Too often, we are content to live our lives apart from the present reality of new life in Jesus. Too often, we are satisfied living according to the flesh when we have been given a whole new way of living according to the very Spirit of God who dwells within us as believers. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. We have been freed from condemnation through the new law of the Spirit ratified by the death and resurrection of Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation. Amen. Let that sink in for a minute. Through the grace of God, not by anything you could ever do, you have been freed from condemnation. The only one who could ever truly condemn you is now your heavenly Father. You are the child of the only judge, and he has offered you continual and uncompromising pardon because of his love for you. And past being pardoned from condemnation, Romans chapter 8 tells us that we have now been crowned as co-heirs with Christ. Romans 8, 16 and 17 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Because of the life we have been given in the Spirit, we are fellow heirs with Christ. I am not sure we even fully understand what that means for us. So often we live as if we are forced into submission to the world. We live according to the principles of the flesh rather than life in the Spirit. You have been freed from slavery to sin. You have been freed from the condemnation of the world. Christ defeated the enemy at the cross, and through him you have obtained total and complete victory. You are now crowned with Christ and given his authority to see heaven come to earth through your life. And most importantly, Romans chapter 8 concludes by telling us of the incredible love and of love available to us in our resurrection and victory with Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 to 39 says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing you or anyone else could do to separate you from the love of God. Through Christ's resurrection, you have been offered unchanging and unshakable love. Living life in the Spirit is living with the constant knowledge that you are and will forever be loved. Spend time allowing the word and presence of God to stir up your desire to live according to the Spirit rather than the flesh. And as you go throughout your day, know that you have the choice to live your life differently. You are not bound by the way you've lived your life in the past. There is newness of life available to you every single day through the power of the Holy Spirit working in you as a believer. Yield to the Spirit's leadership and live in the light of the freedom purchased for you by the death of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Those are your announcements. Because we got Resurrection Sunday coming up in a couple weeks, I wanted to take the time to kind of give a overview of how important it is that what Jesus did on the cross for us allows us to live a new life. And so we will be celebrating Resurrection Sunday in a couple weeks, but I just needed y'all to know what Jesus did for me, you, y'all, and them over there too. And so we are free through the power of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Those are your announcements. Amen.
And what is your response? What is our response? Lord have mercy. She got, between the two of y'all, I am all blessed up over here. Y'all got me all blessed up. I'm telling you, you would think Sarah had been preaching for 50 years. It's unreal.
Jesus.
You know,
it's unreal.
Me and baby Holy Ghost over here, all over Crystal, we all the way messed up. She got us all blessed up over here. You've been preaching forever. But she, you know, so I know you're going to preach. But Lord have mercy. This girl got me all blessed up over here.
Yeah,
I'm telling
you.
You
on that planet
like,
over there that we haven't discovered yet. Yeah, we all on that planet that ain't found yet. We all over there.
I told Baby Holy Ghost. Yeah, we all over there. I'm on planet. What's his name? I'm telling you.
Whatever.
I told Baby Holy Ghost. I mean, it's like she's been preaching 50 years, baby. Holy Ghost, like, I can't even.
What do you
good.
Say? She's good. What do you yes, say? It's amazing.
That is some awesome stuff. I mean, I knew she was awesome, but I had no idea all of that. I bet she like Jonathan.
No.
She's been on the run. That's the thing. She was
on
the run. That's because ain't nobody just going to pop up and preach like that.
But you know what? Jonathan, like, for real ran. I don't know if Sarah was running, but she might have not have seen what it was for what it was until she was like, you know what? I'm about to sit down. Just like I said, be still. Get your pillow. Go take a nap. And then, because it seems like it's been getting poured into her. Like, she got an IV of the word just flowing through her.
She walks slow. She had been telling me for a year or so that, you know, she was, it was there. And I was like, what, you ready? You ready? Because you know me, I'm always ready to delegate. You ready?
Yes,
you ready?
Looking for somebody. I heard Rebecca this morning. I said, all right, now they got somebody else.
Exactly, Rebecca.
Lord
really?
Have mercy.
I'm like, Lord have mercy. Amen. I think I see some more help right over there in that corner.
Okay.
Her head.
All right. There you go.
They look like help to me.
Hello. All right.
Amen.
What are you talking about? Amen.
Oh, Jesus say I got to do communion.
Oh, praise God. Amen.
I don't know how you let me forget it, but I forgive you because I'm like
my
that.
Fault.
Yes, awesome
amen.
Like so I forgive you for letting me forget.
Thank you.
Just like Deacon Lee forgive y'all for forcing him to mess up. So I forgive you.
Oh, yes, always.
Hey, while me and Crystal is bantering, y'all go and get something liquid that represents the blood and go get something that represents the bread. Okay, these are symbols, so don't go cut nobody and let it bleed into a cup, and don't go snatch somebody's ear off and try to eat it like Peter and them was doing. Just go find something that symbolizes the blood that's liquid, something that symbolizes the body, and we're going to have communion, so I'm going to give you a second to do that. But I'm just really, really, really impressed. I was really impressed, like, you know, sitting in Deaconess June Rogers' class, you know, the questions she asked, I didn't answer both of them. Jesus, like, you know, it might help if you send the answers to her. You know, I've done it twice. I wanted to be the one who get notoriety after I'm gone so I could do a whole lot of stuff about Jesus that they could talk about. Because I say that all the time. There are these people who did stuff for Jesus. Then when they died, they're still here. Because the works they left behind, the works are following them. So I wanted that one. And then the toilet paper thing, tell me, you know, tell me, you know, don't be standing back there like, look, dude, got toilet paper on his shoe. You know, don't be doing that to me. Look, I'm dragging it all the way through the mall. You know. Now, I'm going to wait on the 10-minute thing. Now, see, the 10, you know, if I could look 10 minutes into the future, I don't know which way to go with that one, though. Do I want to see my future? What if I'm going 10 minutes in the future and I'm going to do something stupid?
Right. See, this is why we can't answer June's questions, because they make us think like they're not just A and B answers. They're like, they're not cut and dry. They provoke you to think. And like, you're, do I want to do, can I do? I mean, it just spawns off into a million different things. So I be hearing June's questions. I'm like, would you rather? I'm telling
do
you
I want to do 10 minutes in your future? Then see, you about to suffer a catastrophe. And then what is my response? I ain't telling nothing about that. I'm just going to let it happen.
Hello.
I'm going to tell her, but she might think I'm crazy.
Right.
Yeah, I am all messed up.
Your whole 10 minutes is spent trying to figure out what you're going to do. Yeah, it's your whole 10 minutes. You like, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do. Then 10 minutes is up. You like, dang, I ain't did nothing. Yeah.
I'm sorry I could have told you about that, but I was undecided. Sorry you got hit by that car. I saw that coming, but I didn't say nothing. So I don't know. June got messed. She got us all messed up. She got us blessed up too. So, amen.
Oh,
thank
God.
You, Crystal. Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Tell Mir we say hey.
Yeah, he's coming back from Mexico. He's getting his packing his bags out. I've been gone fun in the fun this whole week.
I thought it was Germany.
I know. No, he's
Lord
Mexico.
Have mercy.
His whole folk,
this boy glows
like a chicken breast. Help! Do you hear what I'm saying? Oh my God! I'm at home. Okay.
I'm gone now. Burnt like a chicken breast. I'm out. I'm out. I said cut. Now you know it's deep when I'm cut. Cut. Burnt like a chicken breast. Girl.
I'm just saying. Jesus. I love you.
Okay, Crystal. Love you.
All right. Love you.
Be blessed over there. Hey, man.
All right.
Lord Jesus, I burnt like a chicken breast. Ooh, Lord have mercy. But anyway, okay, we having fun in church. That ain't no sin. Anyway, hope you found something liquid, something bread. Amen. So we can go ahead on and celebrate what we call the Lord's Supper. It is really a communion. It is a reconnection with God. It is a reminder that we belong to him. Amen. And so in verse 23 of chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, the words simply read from the New Living Translation like this. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord took some bread. He gave thanks. So let's give thanks to God. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today. We praise your holy name. Father, we thank you for this word that you sent from heaven to earth. We thank you for the lesson that you sent from heaven to earth. And now we thank you, Lord, for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and this remembrance of him and his death, burial, and resurrection according to the scriptures for us. We can pray this prayer. We can cry, Abba, Father, as Romans chapter 8 tells us, because of what he did for us. And we can celebrate this blessed and holy communion that reminds us that we're in you and you're in us. You have brought to pass what you prayed, Jesus, over in John chapter 17, verse 20, where you asked that we would be in you. And when you would be in us, just like you're in the Father and the Father is in you, and we'd all become one in perfect unity. And we thank you for that. And Lord, now we ask that you bless the participants. Forgive all our sins as we confess every single one. We 1 John 1:9, all of that, we confess. We agree with you. We're wrong. You're right. And we thank you for your forgiveness, and we thank you for your cleansing. And now, Lord, we ask that you bless this substitute of your body, which we call the bread, this substitute of your blood that we call your blood. Bless it, Father, and bless us, and forgive us, and have mercy on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And it continues on. Then he broke it into pieces, and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us all eat together. And in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this, you are announcing the Lord's death. Until he comes again, let us all drink together. Amen and amen. Again, we thank God for each and every one of you who tuned into this Saturday service. Remember, all of these services are archived and recorded, as Crystal told you. And if you ever want to hear one, just go over to rfcm.org. You can click on the BTR player. If it's recent, it'll be in that player. If not, visit the show page, and it's always there. Over 1,400 worship services and Bible classes, all free. Amen. And our Sunday services are on our website under recorded Sunday services. You can get them there. Sarah's first sermon, if you want to hear that. Assistant Pastor Janice Tate preached last week. You can get that. You can get it all, and it's all free. And so we thank God for it. Deaconess June Rogers. We thank God for Cat. I called her Cadillac. She always on the road. She could be in Florida. You don't know where she at. But she's somewhere in the world. But she gets, hey, she wherever she at, Jesus coming. Amen. She does not say, Pastor, I'm going to be out of town. I can't do the preside this week. wherever she at, she's coming to you live from there. So we thank Kat for getting Rebecca Johnson, amen. Her and Edward, her husband Edward Johnson, amen. Two happening people, amen. Two people you probably want to know. They're blessed people of God, amen. Awesome, friendly, amen, congenial, all that good stuff. Okay, now I'm using words I don't even know what they mean. But anyway, awesome people in the crystal, really? Amen. That's all I need to say is Crystal. Amen. Oh, yeah, I know Crystal. She is totally awesome. And the preacher of the hour. Unbelievable. This, you know, I've heard a whole lot of first and second sermons because I've been listening to preachers since 1976. Yeah, I just aged the crap out of myself. But anyway, amen. I have never heard a trial sermon the way Sarah Tate preached her first sermon. I've never seen that much, that kind of comprehensive, cohesive, make sense kind of preparation. Usually that first sermon is, whoa, Jesus, I hope they called, but you knew she was called. And then the second one is just as good as the first. And I thank God for her, her husband, amen, James McClendon, but he come from good stock anyway. They all wrapped up over there with his father, Henry. His father, Henry, did some teaching at our church to help us learn how to evangelize and help us figure out what gifts we got and how to use them. Amen. Amen. Deacon Charles Tate, that's her father. The whole family over there, Naomi, all of them is just deacons and preachers. Brother Pastor Terrence Tate, Deaconess Naomi Tate, now on the teaching staff and on the praise team. I'm telling you, them Tates is over there doing something else. An altar call. Deacon Charles Tate, he'd be scaring me. I'd be opening my eyes looking to see if Jesus in the room. He talked like Jesus right in the room. Amen. Amen. Because they be talking about it. Amen. But anyway, God bless you. God keep you. Thank you, everybody, for these 19 years at Running for Christ Ministries, because I still remember when it was just Jesus and myself, June 2002, and he was telling me about this, and I was scared to death. And he told me, well, I told him, just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. And he said, if you just do what I tell you to do, I'll be with you until the end. And he has been here every step of the way, and not one word that he told me about Running for Christ Ministries all those years ago, not one of them have failed to come out exactly like he said it would, not kind of like. It was no Nostradamus quatrain kind of thing where it kind of fit. It fit exactly like he said it. Even the words that he told me somebody was going to tell me when I told them that Jesus called me to do this. He said, they're going to tell you that I did not, it's not like I spoke to you and told you to do this. And they literally said, it's not like Jesus spoke to you and told you to do this. And I heard that, and I heard, remember what he said? And here we are 19 years later, and all of the roadblocks and all of the stuff that the devil tried to do to stop Running for Christ Ministries from happening, completely and utterly failed so far for 19 years. Jesus has overcome all that. And my wife and I, we are greatly encouraged because everything, I'm encouraged because everything that Jesus told me to tell her is happening. And she could see for herself that he told me to do it. And everything that Jesus said would happen at and through Running for Christ Ministries is happening. Preachers are being made. Teachers are being made. Even the members who just sit in the pews, they do a whole lot more than just sit there and chew. They're being made. Running for Christ Ministries is a disciple-making machine. Now let me close with a song that I believe will cap off Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon's sermon. It's by Hiroshima. And guess what? She said hastily, that letter H, hastily come to me. The name of this song is Come to Me. See you later. Oh, before I forget, the song starts, guess what? Pastor Janine Folks will be here next Saturday. Pastor Janine Folks. See you then. Amen, and thank God. Come to me. That's what Jesus wants. Hastily. Remember what the preacher said. What is our response when trouble happens, when things happen? We hastily, we run to Jesus and not somebody else. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to our God and Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the whole church shouted out, amen. So be it, Lord. Let it be. God bless you. God keep you. See you next week. Minister Janine Folks, tomorrow morning, Pastor O, continuing the work. God bless you.